So yesterday, Xiaoji explained three different qualities of sila. Xiaoji explained three different categories of sila: good quality sila, medium quality sila, and low class quality sila. So just as there are three classes of sila, Dana also has three classes. So if these Dana and Sila has to be explained in detail, it will be lengthy. So Xiaoji would only explain briefly. So as a human being, one has social responsibilities. One has social responsibilities among family, relatives, friends, one's nationality, and also as a human in this world. Performing dana is helping, supporting others as much as one can, so supporting, helping others with material things. Practicing sila, one controls oneself so that others will not be harmed or hurt. Dana, offering things, is something that should be done. And observing morality, one should refrain from things that are improper. Dana is the cause of bhoga sampatti. Performing dana, one will be well-to-do. One will have good standard of life as a result of performing dana. And sila is the cause for bhava sampatti. Sila is the cause to be reborn as a human or a deva. So, as a human being, one needs to protect others from being harmed or being hurt to the very best one can. One should refrain from misconduct. One should refrain from cruelty. One should refrain from violence. And one should also perform things that should be performed. So just as bhoga sampatti, to be endowed with material things, is important, bhava sampatti, to be reborn in good existence such as human and deva, is even more important. So it was Buddha who taught discourses concerning with dana and sila, and it is up to the beings to practice dana and sila so that benefits will be gained. So there is appamada. One should have appamada. One should have non-negligence, non-failure to perform things that should be performed and to refrain from things that should be refrained. So one should practice one's responsibility to perform things that should be performed and to refrain from things that should be refrained. In order to gain benefit, one should perform things that should be performed. And in order to be free from harm and danger, one should refrain from things that should be refrained. So in this way, one should not be negligent. One should not fail to do things that should be done and to refrain from things that should be refrained. So being able to refrain from misconduct, one will not meet harm or danger. And being able to perform things that should be performed, one will gain benefits. There are two words mentioned in the text, Parijaga and Parigaha. Parijaga means giving up, and Parigaha means to gain or gaining. So performing dana is a way of Parijaga, is a way of giving up. One offers material things to the ones who are worthy of respect, who are worthy of offerings. So with the wish for the welfare and benefit of the person who is worthy of suffering, who is worthy of offering, the person donates or offer material things. And also, one offer material things who has virtues of sila, samadhi, panya. One offer material things to the person who is virtuous, who has these virtues of sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, as a way of paying respect, as a way of paying veneration, one performs this dana. So based on these two factors, one offer material things, and to offer material things, one give up one's belonging to offer and to donate. So as a donor, having the wish for the welfare and benefit of other beings, this donor will not have the habit of hurting, tormenting, killing others, and the donor will not have the habit wanting to take other people's belongings by force. So such kind of dana is a good support to practice moral conduct. So as a donor wishing for the welfare of others, one, this donor will not have any difficulty in observing morality. So this is very logical, and it is very this fact is very acceptable. So such kind of dana with the aim and objective of helping for the benefit and welfare of others is a good quality dana. And such dana, such giving up, will not be useless. It will not be in vain. By offering, by giving up, one will have parigaha, one will gain. So this is the benefit of dana. So by offering dana, one also overcome extreme form of defilements. And by offering dana, one is also controlling one's body and speech, so that one's body and speech also is proper. So in this way, by offering, by giving up, one also gains happiness. So as a human being, one cannot stay without dana. And especially, one cannot be without moral conduct as a human being. So in life, there are four kinds of adornment or cosmetics. Being well-to-do in life is one thing, and not being inferior in the human society, it is another. To have good standard is a third one, and also to have happiness in life. is the fourth one. So in life, one, it is better not to be agitated by defilement such as raga, dosa, moha. One should be stable and calm, not being agitated by raga, dosa, moha. Not knowing the truth, there can be wrong view, and throughout the life, if one has these wrong views, one will suffer. So just as to be free from suffering, just as it is important to be free from suffering, one also need to be free from inferiority. So one should also have a happy life. One's life should not be in chaos or uncertainty. One should be free from wrong views, and also one should also gain maturity. One should be mature. It is very important also. When one has material wealth, when one is endowed with bhoga sampatti, material wealth, oneself and one's family will not be inferior. Having material wealth, one can support other with material things. Thus, he, she will not be inferior among the society. Having material wealth, one can also perform meritorious deeds to a certain extent. Having the chance to do meritorious deeds, he, she will not be inferior. And having control of oneself, one also can protect others from being hurt. And also, for the happiness of other people, one has patience, one practices patience, forgiveness, sacrifice for the benefit, for the happiness of other people. So by having patience, forgiveness, and sacrifice, he, she will also gain happiness. So this happiness, being happy in life, is also one of the cosmetic or adornment of life. If one does not control the mind with necessary measures, then this mental illness is very hard to be cured. The mind will be agitated with raga, lust. If there is dissatisfaction, if one comes across undesirable objects, there will be dissatisfaction, anger, hatred, grudge. In this way, the mind will be agitated. Not knowing the truth, one also is agitated with delusion. And also, one has other defilements such as envy and jealousy. So if these negative states of minds are developing, then the person will be in a total chaos. Just as when you roll a ball down the hill, the ball will roll without any control. The ball will tumble down without any control. If you roll a dice, it will stop from time to time because it has sides. But if you roll a ball down the hill, the ball will roll and tumble without any control. A person who has these defilements, a person who lacks control, a person who is agitated by such negative mental states will be in a total chaos, and his or her life will be compared to a ball rolling down the hill without any control. So knowing things correctly, one has knowledge, one's mind will be matured, so he, she will have spiritual stamina in meeting ups and downs of life. When meeting worldly conditions, a matured person has the spiritual stamina to keep the mind in balance. So, having maturity in the mind, having balance of mind, is also one of the adornment or cosmetic of life. So, as a human being, one comes across good and bad things. The one who has wisdom and knowledge will have maturity. His or her mind will be matured. Whatever thing one comes across, whether good or bad, whether desirable or undesirable, the mind will stay in balance. The mind will be in equilibrium. So being able to stay in equilibrium or being able to have a balance of mind is also one of the adornment or cosmetic of life. So it is very important to have a balance of mind, to have a mind that is in equilibrium, which is one of the adornment or cosmetic in life. One cannot control one's bodily and verbal conduct by practice of dana alone. But observing sila, practicing sila, one can control one's body and speech. So, by having control of oneself, by having control of one body and speech, one can be said that he, she is having victory over oneself. So performing, practicing sila, one can be reborn in what is called sakka. One can be reborn in the realm where there is abundant sensual objects. To explain directly, one can be reborn as a human, as a deva. One can be reborn in human realm, deva realm, where there is abundant sensual objects. There are pleasant sights to be seen, pleasant sounds to be, pleasant and sweet sounds to be heard. There are good, tasty food to be eaten. There are sweet tastes, and there can also be pleasant touch with inanimate and animate things, animate and inanimate things. The pleasure of touch between the opposite sex, which majority of the people like. So these sensual objects are abundant in human and deva world. So as a result of dana, one can be reborn in human and deva realm where there are abundant sensual objects. So to be reborn in such realm, one practices sila. So by practicing sila, one can be reborn in such good realm with abundant sensual objects. So it is dana, which is giving result to enjoy such sensual objects. So dana can give the person the opportunity to enjoy such sensual objects. Sila can give result to be reborn in such good existences such as human and deva where there are abundant sensual objects. So these are the benefits of dana and sila. These are the results of dana and sila. So as a human, by performing dana and by performing sila, controlling one's body and speech, one gains these benefits. So Buddha showed these benefits so that beings will perform dana and sila. So one should perform dana with good aim and objective, and one should also control one's body and speech. So Buddha urged beings to perform dana and sila. Buddha urged these beings with karuna, compassion. So Buddha showed that by performing sila, one will be reborn in good existence, such as human and deva existence, where there are abundant sensual objects. For example, in America, America is very much advanced in technology and science, so there are many material things, many desirable material things. There are good sights, good sounds, good smell, good taste. So there is not much difficulty in an American life where there are abundant sensual objects. So America is the place where people who had done good deeds are reborn in. So because they are reborn in good place where they are abundant, where there is abundance in sensual objects, one can conclude that they have done good deeds in the past. They have done good deeds in the past and also at the present because of their diligence, mindfulness, and knowledge. Because they have done good deeds in the past, because they have done dana in the past, they are now getting the life where they can get anything at a push of a button. So these are the result of dana. Performing dana alone, one cannot observe moral conduct by performing dana alone. So Buddha showed these benefits so that beings will perform dana and sila in order to free themselves from sufferings. So as a result of dana sila, they are reborn as human and deva. And at the same time, Buddha also taught the flaws of human and deva life. So at one side, Buddha showed the benefits of dana and sila, and at the other side, Buddha also showed the flaws of a human and deva life. So an example is given. If an elephant is adorned, and after being adorned and after making use of it to cut the trunk. So in the same way, Buddha showed the benefits of dana and sila, and later on, Buddha also showed the flaws of these existences, which are abundant in sensual objects. As a result of dana and sila, the things they will get are itta, desirable things, ganda, adorable things, and also manaba, things that should be cherished. So in these realms of human and deva, There can be happiness, there can be success, accomplishment, but such life will not be precious and valuable if all this life is spent only on happiness. So if one's life is spent on happiness, on sensual objects, one after another, even though one is enjoying sensual objects one after another, one cannot be happy all the time. So there are human sensual pleasure, deva sensual pleasure. These pleasures are great. Even in America, the sensual pleasure people are getting in America are great. But one should not think that such sensual pleasure are the best. So one should not be content or satisfied with such sensual pleasure. But usually most of the people, they are content and satisfied with these sensual pleasure. So these sensual pleasure are good, but they are fatal and dangerous. So the place where there are abundance of sensual pleasure, they are not stable and permanent, and such kind of happiness one can gain from sensual objects has no guarantee. So that's why one should not be content or satisfied with the kind of happiness based on these sensual objects. So Buddha showed the flaws of being in the human realm and deva realm, and Buddha went on to explain about the kind of happiness that has a guarantee. So in order to explain the happiness that has a guarantee, Buddha went on to give discourse on Maggagatha, the discourse on the way, the discourse of the way to get happiness that has a guarantee. So in order to guide beings to get the happiness that excels so many times than the present happiness that the beings are getting, Buddha taught the flaws of present happiness gained by these beings with metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion. And Buddha also gave guarantee on the kind of happiness that is to be gained if one gives up the kind of present happiness. So Buddha showed the flaws of worldly happiness, sensual happiness, and Buddha also gave guarantee on the genuine happiness, so that beings will be eager to give up the sensual happiness. So if the beings are pursuing sensual pleasure which are desirable, if they are going after the sensual pleasure, then there will be suffering. And Buddha said that these sensual pleasure are very minor. They are desirable, but they are very minor. Appasada, it means these sensual pleasure are very minor. And bahudukha, they cause a lot of suffering. And also, these sensual pleasure are very disgusting. And Buddha said that, Mama. And bahubayasa, pursuing sensual pleasure, people get exhausted and tired. So these sensual pleasure, liked by many, they are very disgusting. And Buddha said that these sensual pleasure are very inferior, polluted, impure. So Buddha said that beings are very impure and polluted because they do not control their body and speech. They are gross, rude, cruel. So these grossness, rudeness, cruelness can arise in the mind of these beings. So indulging in such negative mental states, they end up committing transgression, and these people are polluted and impure. So Buddha showed the flaws of these sensual pleasure. There are three kinds of happiness. Kama sukha is the kind of happiness that can be gained by getting sensual objects. Mila sukha, the kind of happiness that is compared to feces or excrement. And anariya sukha, the kind of happiness enjoyed by the worldling who are impure and polluted. So one should give up these three kinds of happiness, kama sukha, mila sukha, anariya sukha, in order to gain happiness that has guarantee. So among these happiness that has guarantee is nikkhama sukha, the kind of happiness one can gain as a yogi when one gives up the sensual happiness, worldly happiness. Coming into retreat as a yogi, one gains nikkhama sukha, which has a guarantee. So coming here in this meditation retreat, the yogis have given up sensual pleasure, worldly pleasure, and they also have given up staying together with family and friends. So they have given up companionship of a person. So Sharaji said, it is also important for the yogis to give up companionship of kilesa, defilements. So in order to give up companionship of kilesa defilements, one should be mindful at the moment of arising of this meditation objects. So just as the yogis have given up companionship with person and being, yogis should also give up companionship with their thoughts, imaginations, and kilesa defilements. Only if they are able to give up these companionship of imagination, thoughts, and kilesa defilements, they can gain happiness that has a guarantee. So in order to gain the kind of happiness that has a guarantee, yogis need to be mindful all the time, every single second, so that their mind will gain concentration. And thus, their mind will be free from defilements such as raga, dosa, moha. Being free from such defilements as raga, dosa, moha, there will be happiness and peace. When the yogi can be mindful for one minute, there will be 60 moments of peace and happiness. When the yogi is mindful continuously for 5 minutes, there will be 300 moments of peace and happiness. If the yogi is mindful for 1 hour continuously, then there will be 3,600 times of peace and happiness, and it is called upasama sukha. And when the yogi gains knowledge, when the yogi gains knowledge into mind and matter, and when the yogi develops vipassana jnana stage by stage, when the yogi attains at least uddiyabhaya jnana, insight into fast arising and passing away, yogi will gain unrelinquishable, unique kind of happiness at the stage of uddiyabhaya jnana. As the yogi gains higher knowledges, there will be calmness, tranquility, there will be calm and happy. And finally, when the yogi attain Ariya Magga Phala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge, and attain Nibbana, it will be Sambodha Sukha. So in order to gain Nikkhama Sukha, Paviveka Sukha, Vubhasama Sukha, and Sambhoga Sukha, Sambodha Sukha, yogi has to give up Kama Sukha, Mila Sukha, and Anariya Sukha. So one should give up the kind of happiness that is valueless, the kind of happiness that is insignificant and minor, in order to gain the kind of happiness that is more precious. So that's why Buddha had taught the flaws of sensual pleasure, and Buddha went on to give discourse on Magga Katha, the way to gain the genuine happiness. So yogis should be happy that they are on this path in order to gain genuine happiness. You are on the path to gain the happiness which has guaranteed Nikkhama Sukha, Paviveka Sukha, Vipassana Sukha, and Sambodha Sukha. And Saraji will continue to explain on this Sukha tomorrow. So Saraji said, by giving up the kind of happiness that is very minor and is insignificant, and by practicing diligently, you will be able to gain the kind of happiness that is more precious. So you will also be accepting this through your personal experience. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.